Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Thank you, Pastora. Wow. You know what? I say this, but it's always an honor to, for my spiritual father, for my pastor to not be here, and for him to trust me to speak. Wow. It's just really awesome. I don't know if you guys know how that feels, but it's just a great honor. How's everybody feeling this morning? Good? All right. I just want to ask you guys a question. Do me a favor today. Some of you guys, I'm friends with you. Some of you, I'm best friends with you. Some of you guys don't know me. But everybody do me one favor, like, just, hey, I want you guys to encounter God in anything that I'm saying. I want you guys, if you guys are looking at me, you'll get nothing, and that's not cliche. But if you actually try to encounter what I encountered, because I'm about to preach to myself as well. Okay? So I want you guys to get something. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to leave here and saying, you know what? I got something from Jesus, and I'm going to do something this week with it. Amen? So I want you guys to get your hearts ready if you haven't already, because I know Lillian killed it in worship. And get your minds ready. I'm not going to preach anything that you haven't heard today. I'm not going to do anything clever. I'm not going to speak things that you wouldn't understand. I'm going to speak things that you've heard before, but I wanted to do something different. And we know when Jesus is here, right? He could always do something different. When Jesus is here, he brings up, wow, Jesus is the presence of God here, and he's going to transform hearts and do something in your mind. I want to really challenge you guys to get something today, to run with it and do something. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for every single one of these people. I pray, Father, that they would encounter you this morning. I pray, Father, that you know every individual and you call them by name in this room. And you know every need, you know every want, and you know every desire. And I declare that you would fulfill that this morning. In your name, amen. Amen. So this morning, I really want to talk about purpose. I want to talk about vision. I want to talk about dreams. I want to talk about my life message. I want to talk about how God just really transformed me with just one word, how God really just excites me and make me walk past fear every moment I have to be scared, every moment that I think, man, I can't do this, every moment that I think, man, does God have more than I could give myself? I want to encourage you guys that this morning. So we're going to go real quick. You guys heard this before, to Jeremiah 29:11. God has created you for purpose. It says in Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for comp, to give you a future and a hope. Acts 20:24. I'm going to go back to that. It says, but I do not consider my life of any account as I dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. I consider my life worth nothing to me if I only may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given to me. So this morning I want to talk to you about purpose. We hear it. Why are you here this morning? Why did you wake up this morning and decide, you know what, I need to go to church? Why did you join a church? Why did, when your friend asked you to come to church, why did you come to church? When your parents were telling you that there's a God and you need to meet him, where you felt like, you know what, there's more to life than just me, and I need to figure that out. Why? I want to encourage you this morning to know that there's a purpose. And if you don't remember that daily, and if you don't walk with that revelation daily, you're going to lose it. If you still have breath in your body, there's a purpose for you this morning. If you still have breath in your body, there's a purpose for you this morning. We speak about Jeremiah 29 all the time. If we really look in it, he said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you. He didn't say I knew them. He didn't say I knew that church. He didn't say I knew that group. He said, I knew you. As an individual, he said, I knew you. I formed you. meaning I had a purpose for you. Meaning you're not just coming here for 60, 70, 80, 90 years just to chill. Because if you were, the Bible would be printed a little differently. But he said, I knew you and I formed you and I had a purpose for you. So if you're walking and we're walking amongst people who don't know their purpose, and if we're walking, we're saying, Jesus, why do you have me here? What am I doing? Is there something that I'm not doing that I'm supposed to do? The word is telling you to go figure out that purpose, to go find that purpose, because he says, I have a purpose for you. I'm trying to deposit something. I'm trying to get you excited to say, you know what, God? I don't care where you're at right now. I don't care if you're not saved, been saved for about 35 years. I'm trying to let you know that today there is a purpose and God has a specific purpose for you. And we come here not to just fulfill our religious duties, not to just say we're church people and we go to church, not to separate ourselves from the world and say, you know what, I'm going to hold on tight till I die and go to heaven, but to say, you know what, I believe that God has me here for a reason, and I'm going to walk in that reason, and I'm going to come to church on Sunday, I'm going to get fed with the word, and when I go out, I'm going to know I'm here for a reason. You see, purpose, vision gives purpose to your pain. You see, when God says, I have a purpose for you, he didn't want to just leave you there. He says, I knew you and I made you, so you get a vision. Say, my life has a vision. So when life, because it says it rains on the just and the unjust, so when life hits you, say, I have a purpose, so there's purpose to my pain. That no matter what I go through, no matter what my family goes through, there's a purpose that I'm walking towards. There's a goal. He said that you may all finish your race for the purpose that God has for you. I'm just setting foundation. Again, there's a purpose for you. So I'm going to go to my second point. Now that we know that there's a purpose, you guys understand that? You can't fulfill somebody else's purpose. And that might sound kind of like, duh. But it's true. Your destiny is your destiny. David couldn't win the fight with Saul's armor. He couldn't win the fight with somebody else's armor. He had it all set up. But he knew he couldn't. I couldn't take down that giant with somebody else's armor. So if God's telling you, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb, that means he's made you different for a reason. That means there's a specific purpose for you. That means even in the midst of everybody else, there's something specific for you. There's something specific for you to do. Come on. There's about 6 billion people in the world. And if we were all walking around clones, it would be very hard to reach all of them. Specific purpose means specific task, means specific abilities. Let's talk about your gift. God has a gift for every single one of you guys. You guys are all walking with different gifts. And if you're trying to function in other people's gifts, you're going to get nowhere. There's specific, God is big. There's a whole lot of people. There's specific gifts inside of every single one of you that needs to come out. That needs to come out. It's your gift. He calls people groups. He calls churches. But remember, most importantly, he's called you. He's called you with your gifts. He's called you with your talents. He's called you with your abilities. He's empowered you. Not two people worship the same. Not two people dance the same. Not two people preach the same. Not two people speak the same. He's called you as an individual. And the only way you're going to fulfill the purpose of God in your life is if you understand, I am made as an individual. I came in this world by myself, right? I'm going out by myself. And even though God has called me to be part of a family, he's called me to be discipled. He's called me to walk with my brothers and sisters. It's okay if I don't look like them. It's okay if I don't talk like them. It's okay if I don't dream like them. It's okay if my desires are different than them. When God was speaking to me and I was preparing for this message, all I could think about is Jesus. We're in a house. Think about this. You grow up in a house. For some of you that have brothers and sisters, you had a mom and dad, and you grow up in a home, and we don't look like our brothers and sisters. But our parents didn't say, well, I'm trying to raise a bunch of people that look alike. I'm trying to raise a bunch of people that talk alike. They were just trying to raise a bunch of people that would go off and do something. And that's the same thing with the church. This is a family. You have spiritual mothers. You have spiritual brothers and sisters. But the purpose is not to all come here and try to be the same thing. The purpose is to figure out who God has called you to be and go be that person in the world. God loves every single one of us. And like I said, this is nothing that you haven't heard. But if it's not real to us, then we're not going to go out and do anything. We're just going to hold on tight till he calls us home. And I don't know about you guys, but if you seek God's heart and if you're there in the secret place, it will start hurting you to know that our Father in heaven, that there's a God in heaven interceding that we go home with some people. I was listening to one of my favorite preachers preach, and I said this before, and she said, you know what, when she got, you know, cancer, she's a preacher, and she got cancer in the throat. The enemy's kind of funny. She got cancer in the throat, and when she was sitting there in surgery, she didn't ask silly questions. She didn't ask what I think wasn't silly. I would probably ask. But she didn't ask, Lord, what's going to happen with my kids? Lord, what's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with my home? What's going to happen with this, that, or the other? The things that we think about. She asked Jesus, if something happens, am I bringing home every single person that I was supposed to bring home with me? You see the pleasures and the awesome things that God allows us to have here? Awesome, because he's a good dad. But no matter what your abilities are, no matter what your gifts and your talents are, it all goes back to, what am I here for, Jesus? And why did you send me here? Because there's eternity where we get to spend forever and dance and love and be with Jesus. But sometimes we have to realize in this amazing life that he's given us, it's going to take work because we have purpose. He spoke about purpose, so we're not just sitting here crossing our legs and saying, you know what, I'm just going to walk around offended and church hop and woe is me and throw pity parties. He's given you purpose so you can wake up in the morning and say, I'm not there yet, but I know I need to get somewhere. Amen? So he has purpose. He has vision for you. Your vision will give purpose to your pain. Hey, your vision will give purpose to your pain, and he's carrying you. And he's saying that your gifts, your abilities, your talents are for you, and if you won't seek it in anybody else, if you won't try to be anybody else, he's going to do something special with you because he called you, and you are called. And if you hear him and you're walking with him, he's going to do amazing things with your life. Amen? Desires. Thessalonians 1:11-12 says, to this end, also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith and power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does your purpose come from? God, of course. Where does the call come from? God, of course. And so you come to church and you're like, okay, I have a call. I have a purpose. You hear it every week. You get excited about it. And then some people get stuck in the place of, what is it? Well, Psalm says that he will fulfill every desire of your heart. Why? Because those desires come from him. And when you seek him, he'll give you those desires. Your purpose comes out of your desires. What makes you excited when you go to bed at night? When you dream with God, when you think about that exciting thing, when you sit there and you said, if I could only do that, if I could only reach them, if I could only sing that, if I could only write that, those exciting things that get you passionate, those things that come on the TV and get you excited, those things that give you goosebumps when people talk about it, these desires that God has given you, start there. That's purpose, because God has created you as an individual, and he's saying, I've deposited purpose. purpose in you before you were even born. I've placed desires in your heart. And if you're looking for desires in everybody else, you're not going to understand the desires I have put in your heart. It's so annoying to watch Christians sometimes shut down their desires because, A, they think, how am I going to do that? How is that, God? This sounds bizarre. And I'm letting you know, if you were to put 6 billion people in this room, some of us need to be bizarre. Some of us need to look crazy. Some of us need to have some psycho desires in our heart if we're going to reach them. Some of you, God might let you be normal, but some of us, God's going to need us to be that person that is loud. Some of us, God's going to need you to be that person that's extremely quiet, but steps on a stage and just cries your heart out and raises the dead to life. Some of you, God's going to need you to be that person that doesn't care what people think about you. Some of you, God's going to need you to work out your talents and spend money that you don't want to spend on working out your talents because God has a purpose for you. Some of you, God's going to need that faith that comes from God that makes you do things you don't want to do. Some of you are going to have to walk in situations that scare you to death, but you're going to say, my life is way less more important than what people think about me, and there's people that need to hear what I have to say. I went to a high school 2 weeks ago, and I heard a 15-year-old girl sit there speaking to 40 people, and she said, you know what? Somebody asked her, how are you not scared doing this? I don't know if you guys remember yourself in high school, but it was hard enough being just you. And then try being you telling people about Jesus in high school. And she sat there, and somebody asked her, how do you do that? She goes, they mean more to me than my insecurities. These people mean more to me than my insecurities. So some of us today got to say, my purpose, why God has me here, means more to me than what my pocket looks like, means more to me than my insecurities, means more to me than my fears, means more to me than my offenses, means more to me than my tiredness. These people mean more to me. I want to encourage you guys this morning. Your pastor is going to come next week and he's going to pastor you. But today I want you guys to understand something. There's a job and there's things that we need to get done as a family. And we got to view people as brothers and sisters. We got to view people as if these people are important and God sent us here for a reason. He calls families, he calls cities, and he's going to call nations. Can you imagine if we said, every single one of us just went in our prayer closet and said, and believed it, not just the worship leaders, not just the pastors, not just the life group leaders, but every single one of us went and said, Jesus, I know, I don't see it, but I know, what is your purpose for me today? And I'm going to do it. What is your purpose for me this week? And I'm going to do it. Put me in the most radical situations and I'm going to try it out. What if every single one of us said that? What if every single church said that this morning in this city? We would shut this thing down quickly. Said this before, we'll checkmate the devil and send him packing on his way. We would shut this city down. What does revival look like? It looks like a bunch of crazy people who met their Savior. A bunch of people who said, I met him, and it's my job that I tell the world about him. Because you're not going to solve their problems, but Jesus will. Are you guys getting encouraged this morning? Are you getting excited this morning? Amen. Call it forth. Luke 6:13 says, and when the day came, he called the disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he has named as apostles. The disciples were called disciples until God called them apostles. What does that mean to you? He called them disciples. They were disciples, but they were called to be apostles, but they weren't called apostles right away, right? So if God... if people who walked with Jesus and did what Jesus did and said what he said and just spent time with him knew that they needed God to bring forth the call. How much more do we need? How much more do we need? I want you guys to really know this morning, God is a really good God, and he's really excited about every single one of you. He's really excited, and most importantly, he believes in you. Most importantly, he sees things that you don't see. He knows things that you don't know. And all he says is follow him, and he'll make you fishers of men. Do what your father does. Say what he told you to say. And know that if God is giving you a purpose, God will call forth the call. If God's giving you the purpose, he's already giving you the talents and the gifts. I need you guys to understand that whatever you need to fulfill the dreams that you have, to fulfill the desires in your heart, to bring this thing down, to bring whatever God has called you to do, is already in you. We prophesy not just to hear exciting, clever, encouraging whatevers. We prophesy because there's a destiny for people and we're trying to call it out forth. There's a future for us and we're trying to call it forth. There's an exciting time for us and we're trying to call it forth. Again, if you have breath in your body this morning, there's purpose. If you're sitting in church this morning, you've made it. You've made it. You realized that God has more for you than you could ever imagine. So sometimes we wait. We say, well, my dreams are going to cost a lot of money. As if God didn't know how much it's going to cost to fulfill the dreams that he's told you to dream. Like he doesn't know how much it takes to get an airplane ticket. Well, God, I don't have enough time during the day. I have to work 9 to 5. So until you move me from a 9 to 5 job, I can't tell people about you. I don't know about you, and I don't know about your relationship with Jesus, but he's not really concerned about your time. Sometimes we may have to work 9 to 5, get off work, and then work for Jesus from 5 to 11, and then try to go to sleep. So we could sit here and say, okay, until you might have to work 9 to 5 for the rest of your life, you're not going to do nothing. You might have $2 in your pocket for the rest of your life, you're not going to do nothing. You might be single for the rest of your life, you're not going to do nothing. Jesus. Say what your father says. But I'm being real. I had something totally different I wanted to preach this morning. I'm not even going to lie to you. But I knew that God wanted to encourage some people to do something now. The stadiums are coming. The people are coming. The money's coming. That's the small stuff because God wants it more than you do. God wants you to be more influential than you want to be influential. Because he wants people to see him. He wants you to prosper more than you want yourself to prosper. So if you're here, all he's saying is the hard stuff is your character. The hard stuff is trying to figure out how to carry all that. That's the hard stuff. So if we focus on the hard stuff, maybe all the stuff that we want to get to will just come if we would just do the hard stuff. That's why being faithful, like Corey said earlier, that's why being faithful, it's important. Because learning to stick through something will allow you to know how to carry things out. The people, like I said, all that, the resources and all that, Jesus has it. He's not a liar. He says it in the Word. He has it all. He's not lacking in anything. The only thing he's not doing is controlling your heart. The only thing he's not doing is controlling your mind. So that's what we're trying to figure out. How do I align my heart and my mind so I could walk in character and dignity to carry the things that God has for me? It's a whole different game. We watch the people that we really look up to that are actually doing something for God. And we hear this all the time. You do not know what they went through to get there. And we hear people that have been stuck in, that were nobodies for a really long time, that became people out of nowhere. Why does God have people in secret places for a long time? Why does God hide people for a long time? There's something about staying faithful and working out your heart so that, because as much as God wants you to reach people and fulfill your destiny, he still cares about you. And he doesn't want you to lose yourself. He doesn't want the money to kill you. He doesn't want the popularity to kill you. He doesn't want none of that. That's why we get discipled. That's why we rub arms with our brothers and sisters and stick with them even when they make us mad. And we submit when we don't agree. That's why we do these things. So when it gets hard and it gets annoying and it gets tiring, hey, say it, it's all joy. Because I am working out this thing because there's people that needs Diane to get it together. So when you look at yourself, there's people that needs Raquel to get it together. Look at yourself and say, there's people that need me to get it together. There's people that need me to stick this out. There's people that need me not to walk away from Jesus and to trust him. There's people that need me to lose some sleep. Seriously, there's people that need you. And it brings purpose, right? It brings purpose to what you're doing. I'm an evangelist, so it's easy to have an evangelistic word because I feel like you all should just tell people about Jesus all the time. But I also do understand that we're all called to different things and we have different desires. But I do believe every single one of your desires and every single one of your calls, it all leads back to people, regardless what it is. And it's all about loving people and it's all about reaching to people. And it's never self-centered. From pastors to worship leaders to business leaders to everybody in this room. Father, there's just an excitement that we're on a team that doesn't lose. There's just an excitement to know, like I said before, at the end of my life, I'd be able to say, Jesus, did I bring everybody you wanted me to bring? I don't know about you guys. God's not going to ask you how many cars you had. You heard that in youth group. This is God's not going to ask you how many cars you had, how many babies you had. He's not going to ask you how many ministries you led. He's not going to ask you how many houses you had, how many dinners you went on, how many cruises you went on. These are all amazing things. He's going to ask you, did you do what I sent you to do? And we know this, and we say it all the time, but life is short. And us all being young, we forget that sometimes. But life is short, very short. Let's do something. If anything, do something. So if you close your eyes for a second. If you just ask Jesus, Jesus, when you had me, when you thought of me in my mother's womb, what did you think? What did it look like? When you thought of me, when you said, I am sending me to this earth, what was your vision? These are the things that we should be asking God. Was I mean? Was I disrespectful? Absolutely not. What does it look like when Jesus sent you here? That's exciting, right? He has nothing but good things to say about you. Now, if you truly believe what he's saying about you, it's going to be very easy for you to tell the person next to you that he believes something amazing about them. And that's why we follow Jesus. Because when you believe in yourself and you believe that God has called you and you believe that you're important, then you're going to believe the people next to you are important because we all came from the same place. If you believe you have a purpose, it's going to be easy when you're singing on stage, when you're at work, to tell somebody that they have purpose, regardless of what they look like, regardless of how they speak, regardless of how they walk. You're going to be able to tell them Jesus has a purpose for them. You're going to be able to tell the 5-year-old kindergartner to the 89-year-old in the nursing home, that God has a purpose for them because you believe that God has a purpose for you. And we're our own critics. So we're going to walk in that revelation. And we're going to understand this. And it's going to make, it's going to make evangelism, it's going to make telling people about God, it's going to make the things that you run after easy. Because if it's, people could see fake people. Let's just be real. Raise your hand. You know when somebody's being fake. And the world doesn't need any more fake people. Doesn't need any more fake people or any more people judging them. They just need a bunch of real people to say, Jesus has changed my life. I'm not perfect. If you're looking at my life, you'll be very disappointed. But I'm telling you, he's continually changing my life. And he could do the same thing for you. And I believe you have purpose because I believe I have purpose. And if I have purpose, I'm a hot mess. I know you have purpose. It's going to be very, very easy. I'm trying to tell you, this thing is not hard. When he said in the Gospels, it is finished, the hard thing is finished. Salvation is finished. It's finished, it is finished, it is finished. Jesus did all the hard things. All we have to do is tell them about him. He's did all the hard things. We don't have to save nobody. We don't have to take nobody to heaven. All we have to say is, I can't solve your problems. I probably can't pay your bills. I will try to pray for you, know that God could heal you, but I know there's a God that I have met, and everything that you need is in him. That's the easiest thing that we could do. And sometimes the enemy comes and try to complicate things and try to separate us from the main goal. And the main goal is people. The main goal is loving people and knowing that these people that we walk around daily are important. And if we figure out, man, I'm not going to get this all worked out today. I'm not going to get all the resources I need today, but there's a call, there's a word that is shut up in my bones, and who I am is important to God. So I'm going to be who I am in this world. And I'm going to spend my whole life walking with him and perfecting that and not waiting for the perfect day, because there won't be a perfect day. Jesus is not a liar. We know that. And we know Jesus is alive. And he said that he will leave and we will do greater things than he did. And I heard this before. What if the greater things that he did is us doing it all in mass because Jesus was one person? What if he meant if I leave and send my spirit, you all could do different things in all different parts of the world? What if that was the greater thing? What if the greater thing is a bunch of people that don't look alike because he knew who he was creating? If he wanted us to look alike, we would have. What if that was the greater thing? If he would put the same spirit in a bunch of different people, what does that look like? Again, if 6 billion people were to walk in this room today, I mean, we wouldn't fit, obviously, but if 6 billion people were to walk in this room today, who would we need to be? Ourselves. First of all, there would be needing some languages, you know. But we would need to be ourselves. It's okay, like I said, it's okay to have the dreams that you have. It's okay to have the desires you have. Corey and I serve on the same team, go to the same church, get excited about the same thing, preaching. But I could guarantee you, if you put us in the room, we see two different groups of people we want to reach, two different styles of preaching that we want to do. But what's really exciting is the goal is the same. And I could be in the same room, in the same leadership team as Corey, and it'd be encouraging and be running forward, even if I'm trying to go way right and he's going way left. And then you have spiritual parents who has a bunch of spiritual kids trying to go north, west, east, south, and, you know, that's why they're anointed to do what they do. But it's important that I'm not trying to be Corey, and Corey's not trying to be me. Because the world needs you to be you. Again, the world needs you to be you. The world needs you to be you. Needs you to dream your dreams. Needs you to have your desires. Needs you to be in your place. They need you. What if somebody didn't tell you about Jesus? What if somebody didn't answer their call to have a church? I had a friend of mine who got saved, and somebody told her about Jesus, and she got really upset with them because she was mad that they didn't tell her about Jesus earlier. Like, what do you mean you held this from me? This is the real deal. If Jesus is real to you, it's going to be easy. So the Arnotts came last week, and yeah. That was pretty awesome. And they said something that really stuck out to me. And pastor's asking them questions at one of our meetings and said, you know, when do people do stuff? And if we really think about it, Jesus was 33. Some of the revivalists, you know, they're in their mid-20s. And I have to think, if they were doing stuff, what did they do differently than we did? What's different? I know it's not lack of purpose, because God wants us to do, all of us to be doing something. What was different? And I could only think, if we hunger and we thirst after the call of God, and if we hunger and we thirst after the things of God, he will fulfill it, and it would look like a bunch of 20-somethings, a bunch of 30, 40, 50-somethings doing something. If we believe it could happen. So I want you guys, raise your hand if you believe it could happen. Raise your hand if you believe it could happen through you. Do you really believe it could happen through you? Do you really believe it could happen through you? Do you believe that when you leave here today, you're not going to get burdened and say, now I have to be a preacher. Now I have to go to Bible school. No, you don't. But you're going to believe that God has a specific. If it makes you happy, do it. If it excites you, do it. If it gives you joy, do it. If it brings misery, it's not your call. Run away from it. It's going to scare you. So don't run away from the things that scare you. But if it brings you to a place that you're going to hide on your bed forever, it probably isn't what you're supposed to be doing. But go do it. Start now. Writers, you see books, start writing something. Write a poem. Give it to me. Write something. Preachers, sermons, do something. Preach to somebody. Preach to yourself. I do it all the time. Or my friends, they'll tell you. Singers, call Lillian. Sing to her. Just sing. I'll give you her number after service. Pastors, sit with Pastora. Seriously, do something. Business owners, call somebody who's running a good business. Somebody's going to answer their phone. Learn something. Do something. If it excites you, do something. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. On Monday, I spoke to some high school students, and I promise you, let me just be real, I was crying. I called Pastor, and I was like, I can't breathe. I can't do this. This is really, really scary. And you know what I realized after I did it, is if I'm not doing something that's constantly scaring me, that's constantly pushing me, then I'm doing everything for myself. If you want to stay comfortable, then let it be about you. If it's not about you, it's going to be scary. It's going to be risky. Do it. Everybody that's doing something with a smile doesn't mean their heart is not beating extremely fast and they want to die. I'm being real. Do it. I'm sure saying I do at an altar is very scary, but people do it. But do it. Do it. So I want to challenge you guys this week. Pastor's going to hear this. I want to challenge you guys this week. Do something crazy. Do something that you would never have done. Say, this is not about me, and I'm going to test this out. This is not about me, and I'm going to test it out. Do something crazy, like pay for somebody's groceries or something. Do something nuts. Don't jump out of anything. Don't kill yourself. But do something. And I promise you, when you keep doing these things, God's going to put you in situations that you never thought you'd be in. Be like, how did I get in front of 800 people? Keep doing something. And he's going to put you in situations where you're going to find yourself doing something. He's a God that opens doors and lets his sons and daughters through. And he's a God that opens doors that no man could shut. And he's a God that's going to do the impossible when it seems very impossible. He's a God that heals cancer. He's a God that raises the dead. He's a God that gives people free cars. He does it. But he's a God that does stuff. He's a God that does stuff. So, this morning, I want to pray for you guys. I want to pray for everybody that wants prayer. I hope you guys got something. I just wanted to speak out of my heart. Hey, I just want to speak out of my heart, and I just wanted you guys to, it's pretty simple, like I said. You have a purpose. You have a plan. Your gifts and your abilities and your talents come from Jesus. He loves you, and he wants to see you do things on this earth. Life is not too long, but that's okay. We could do everything that he's called us to do with the time that he's given us. If we focus and know that Jesus has us here for a reason, if we don't run away from the scary stuff, if we don't run away from relationship, if we stay in community, if we know that Jesus Christ has made me for a specific purpose, you guys will do things. We believe in you. Jesus believes in you. God believes in you so much. God believes in you so much. You're going to do it. You have to do it. It's his plan that you do it. Every single person in this room, in the name of Jesus, is going to fulfill the call of God in their life. They're going to be radical world changers. It's not going to just be a church thing that they say. It's not just going to be something that is just spoken over them and they forget. And in their old age, they're going to be, why have I wasted my life? But they're going to walk in purpose, and they're going to waste their life on you, Jesus. And they're going to walk in their call, and they're going to know that God has made me for a specific purpose. And I'm going to do everything that he's called me to do. And I'm going to sing on the rooftops that Jesus Christ is alive. And I'm going to heal the sick, and I'm going to shut down hospitals, and I'm gonna encounter people that want to take their lives, and they're not gonna want to take their lives anymore because I told them they're important. And I'm gonna be a business owner, not to only make money for myself, but I'm gonna feed the sick. Hey, I'm gonna open up orphanages. I'm gonna shut cities down and tell them that they have more than enough to fulfill their calls. And I'm gonna walk in a place. Hey. I'm going to walk in a place of purpose. And if the world knows my name, they're going to see Jesus. And if there's books written about me, they're going to see Jesus. And if there's songs that I write, they're going to see Jesus. And if there's kids that I raise, they're going to see Jesus. And if there's people that I disciple, they're going to see Jesus. And if I have 60 more years to live on this earth, there are going to be 60 years of saying, His praise will forever be on my lips. His praise will forever be on my lips. And no matter what my life looks like, no matter what I go through, I will serve Jesus with everything that I have. And when I get tired, and when I get sad, and when I get depressed, and when I feel like Jesus is not with me, I'm going to know that Jesus is alive. And no matter what it feels like, God has a purpose for me. God has a purpose for me. If I'm here, and if I have breath in my body, God has a purpose for me. God has a purpose for my family. God has a purpose for my marriage. God has a purpose for my education. God has a purpose for me. And I'm going to walk in that purpose. And as I'm walking in that purpose, I'm going to bring everybody He's asked me to bring with me. And I'm going to bring everybody He's asked me to bring with me. On that day when I stand in front of Jesus Christ, and He's asked, what have you done? Have you done what I've sent you to do? You're going to say, Lord God, heaven Jesus, yes, God, I've done. I've said everything you've asked me to say. I've done everything you've asked me to do, because it wasn't about me. It was about you the whole time. My whole life was about you. So if you'd stand with me, Father, I declare over every single person in this room that there would walk in their destiny. I declare the fire of God upon them. I declare they will draw forth the purpose of God. I declare every fear that keeps them captive, every fear that causes them to not walk in their purpose, would leave right now in the name of Jesus. I declare the angels of God would follow them, would go with them. They would walk in boldness. I declare, Father, that you would give them prosperity to fulfill the call of God on their lives. I declare those, Father, that are walking today, God, that are saying, Jesus, I don't even know where to start, Father, that you give them vision right now. I declare dreams over them. I declare desires over them. Hey! We declare every burden that's upon them right now would lift, that they would see them on the wings of eagles. In the name of Jesus, they would walk fearlessly, courageously, excited, full of life, full of joy, taking care of their Father's business. So if I could have Mikey come up. I want to pray for some people this morning. If you're saying, hey, you know what? I've heard this before. I know I have a purpose. Or if you're saying, I didn't know I had a purpose. I could only give what I have. But Jesus could give you everything He has. So if you're saying this morning, I just want more. I just want that clear, that 2020 vision. I just want my desires to come to life. I just want to be excited again to do the things of God. If you're saying this morning, I just want that boldness that makes me do scary stuff. I just want that selfishness, that selflessness. Forgive me. That selflessness that makes me think about other people. I just want to invite you up front. You're praying. I just want to invite you up front. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to have some of my some of the ministry directors to pray for you. I said this when I started. If you've encountered me, you've not encountered a lot. But if you've come to encounter Jesus, he's going to meet you. He's going to meet you where you're at right now. And if you're up here and you don't know God, when somebody comes, lays hand on you, just say, you know what? I just want to meet Jesus today. They'll be more than happy to introduce you to Jesus. So if you guys could start praying, I'm going to pray for everyone. Father, I thank you for those, Father, that just stepped up. I just pray, God, that you'd give them more vision, more dreams, that you would impart boldness. Father, I pray that you would break their heart for what breaks yours. Father, I pray that they would be able to see what you see when you look at them. Boldness. Fearless lovers. You guys who are still, keep praying. One last thing. You guys ready? You're going to repeat after me, okay? And you're going to believe what you're about to say. Amen? You ready? Jesus. Jesus. I know you're more than able to help me fulfill the call that you've given me. I pray that you'd give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and feet to walk this thing out. This week, I vow to walk with my Father, talk like my Father, act like my Father, and do what my Father does. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you for visiting Revival Life Church. We just ask that you, hey, welcome, Holy Ghost. You guys are free to stay up here and get prayer. They're going to be outside to meet you at Next Steps. I hope you guys had a good Sunday. I hope you feel encouraged. Remember, do something. You could do it. Jesus is for you, not against you. Amen. Amen.